Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thanks to all of you for joining us today. Now, we want to revisit an issue we've previously discussed here on the show, and that is this misconception or myth that there is a universal standard of beauty and that we all have to conform to or in order to feel or to appear beautiful. We also want to look at some of the things that drive some of the driving forces behind some of these misconceptions. Now, many agree that as much as our societies continue to positively benefit from increased access to technology and mass media, there's some downside to it. And one of those downsides is what many say is a distortion of our perception of beauty, which leads us to ask, what is beauty and what do you consider as beautiful?
When you describe an African woman, a beautiful one, you'd say she has body. We try to ascribe to the Western concept of a beautiful woman, and in fact, it doesn't go with our physical structures. There's even a saying, you know, in Tanzania, hakuna mtu mwembamba, there's no skinny person.
I hate it when I tell someone that I'm African and they're like, oh my goodness, you don't look African. I think Africa has no standard look. There are certain things you can do to enhance your beauty. There's a hair extension, things like that. But once you get to actually physically changing your body, when you physically change your breasts, you physically change your nose, it's like, how beautiful is that in the first place?
Welcome back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. On the show today, we're talking about beauty and some of the factors that influence our perception of beauty. Now, we continue to see that across the continent, visual media, from TV to film, greatly influences our perception of beauty. And in effect, we see that young people, especially young women, are embracing an idea of beauty that is deemed acceptable by Western pop cultural standards. In fact, some studies show that part of the impact of exposure to Western visual media is that many young women and men strive to achieve and conform to standards associated to Western beauty, such as the lighter skin, straight hair, and many others. And this partly explains why the global bleaching industry by itself is worth billions of dollars. And same goes for hair extensions, plastic surgery, and many other products that are associated with the beauty industry ecosystem. But mass media in itself, in and of itself, is not the only reason young women try so hard to achieve that quote-unquote look. Other factors include the people behind the mass media production and consumption of media, from advertisers constantly or consistently using skinny models or skinny blonde model for a car commercial, to the blonde blue-eyed news presenter on your evening news. They are part of a system that puts pressure on young women to meet an idealized beauty standard. And one of the results of this is that many end up having self-esteem issues that affect them all their lives. So on the show today, we'll have a conversation with a number of people. We'll talk about the role of media in shaping our perception of what is beautiful. But first, let's listen to what you, our listeners, consider beautiful.
What matters in Africa is how somebody smiles to you, responds to you, even a greeting. That's what beauty is all about, not someone who has a physical appearance, but someone who is very good in manners. That's what we call beauty.
I had a huge gap when I was younger, and my mom just kept telling, because my mom's Rwandan, it's like, please don't fix your teeth. And man, but when I started my first job when I was 17, the first thing I was get to that dentist and close the gap.
Me, a beautiful person is someone who's confident, someone who has respect for other people around them, someone who's willing to listen, especially. That's pretty important for me. So many times you meet so-called beautiful people that I find aren't really very beautiful at all.
Beauty is a package. Beauty is, I'd say, 70% how you feel. I mean, from the inside out. As far as from outsiders, beauty is, I think, a person's personality, as it enhances or is a part of her beauty package.
The Voice of America News presents the Upfront Show with Jackson from Outer Washington. Yeah, yeah, oh, oh, oh.
Joining me on the show today is Lino Mudo, my friend and colleague here at The Voice of America. Lino is a host of Africa 54's Health Chat and then radio show Health Chat and the French show called Carnet de Santé. She's the busiest woman in show business, right next to Oprah Winfrey. But also, Lino is into fashion. So, Lino, let me ask you, what do you consider as beautiful? What is beauty to you?
Thank you, Jackson. That's a fabulous topic because beauty is so subjective. People can define beauty. As they say, it's in the eye of the beholder. But for me, beauty starts from within. I know it's cliche, but it's you can see a gorgeous person. If they have the worst attitude, it's a big turnoff. It's for me, it's your beauty is already gone. Mm. So for me, it starts from within. And I think what's within will shine through. That's why sometimes you see people that may not be considered beautiful, but when they have a good heart, you see that glow, you see that goodness that changes it.
Is there a difference between beauty and being attractive?
Yes.
Right?
I agree.
So you can be beautiful internally, but maybe physically not.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. There is a difference. Because you can even see somebody that is gorgeous physically and is not attractive, at least for me. Mm. And vice versa. Somebody that is not beautiful physically but is attractive because of the way they are internally.
Their personal.
Yeah, the personality, right. The persona, the character of somebody really also affects the beauty. So for me, being beautiful is really, first of all, it's subjective.
Subjective. Yes. I like that. So let me ask you this. Do you ever wake up in the morning and say, I don't feel beautiful today?
I've had those moments quite often.
Right now you're not feeling
very
beautiful?
Right now because...
Is it because I'm in your space? Is that I'm bringing bad energy?
Not
bad energy,
all.
Go far away.
Not at all. So let me tell you, for me, a lot of time I feel like I'm not beautiful when I have put on some weight.
Okay.
Because I struggle with weight, you know, sometimes I gain a lot. Like right now.
I don't see it, by the way.
Yeah, I know you always tell me you don't see it. But your clothes will talk to you.
Right.
You know, that pair of jeans will tell you.
And when you put on that pair of jeans and it doesn't fit you, then you don't feel beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. So because for me, there is a threshold for my weight, you know. And once I pass this threshold, I'm like,
Isn't weight supposed to be about your health?
It is. It is supposed to be about your health. But weight has a lot to do with beauty. Mm. It's all individual. Somebody like Naomi Campbell, if she's my size today, she will find herself as an obese woman, right?
Mm.
But somebody like me, I don't consider myself obese, but I consider myself overweight according to my criteria. Now, you, my friend and brother, every time you tell me, oh, no, I don't see any problem.
Absolutely.
Yes, for me, I feel like I'm overweight.
Right.
But you don't see it.
I think it has to do with the fact that you don't want to buy any more jeans.
No, so, that also.
Right. I think your criteria is that if I have to buy more clothes to fit my little extra pounds that I've put on.
Yes, then there is a problem.
So beauty for you is in the pocket more than it is on your body.
Oh, no. The way you put it, that's not true. It's not quite like that, Jackson. Not quite like that.
You just don't want to buy more jeans. That's what it is.
But that could be a good excuse, right? No, but I think physically, at least for me, a lot of times it's my weight affects my personal assessment of if I feel beautiful or
your
not.
Your self-esteem.
And my self-esteem. And then, you know, we are women. You like to look nice. Your hair, your face, your skin, things like that. But one thing that I know is that God has blessed me. So I cannot...
Amen to that.
Yes, thank you. So I cannot complain because I know that there are some people who will say, what are you complaining about? Some people will look at you and say that, you know, you are beautiful. And I'm grateful for the way I look. I'm not Miss World, but I think that, you know...
You're fine.
I'm okay, right? I mean, I'm okay.
I can attest to that.
Thank you.
Amen to that one more time.
Yeah, stop, Jackson.
So as a health reporter, I guess my question to you would be, what are some of the consequences of these unrealistic expectations?
Oh, my God.
Especially on young women.
Yes.
Of what is considered beautiful.
Yes.
Or the universal standards of beauty.
That's a good question because today you see people, like I talked about my weight because, you know, I have my own concept. We talked about clothing. When I don't fit in certain clothes, I know that I've let myself go a little bit. But that's besides the point. You have the issue where women will look at somebody like Naomi Campbell, and I'm not picking on her, but she's a standard that people look at. She's a beautiful model. And
especially because she's on TV.
She's on TV. Magazines. She's a celebrity, yeah? Right. So you will take a woman who is like me by nature, because since I was a baby, I was chubby. I don't consider myself chubby now, but I'm still a bit, you know. And then you will want to be like Naomi. So what does it take? It will take starving yourself. It will take pills. It will take unrealistic exercising, plastic surgery, all these things, just because you want to look like somebody you are not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. And that's only the physical aspect. What about the psychological aspect?
The mental aspect.
Mental aspect. Right. You see women and men even falling into depression, suicide even. When you, there's a certain way when you don't feel that beautiful. Mm. Some people will go to that extreme because, and one of the problems today with social media, it's all about, when they talk about selfie, it's really selfish.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's really selfish. It's all about me, me, me. Mm. So me wants to look the best. Mm. And me wants to look as gorgeous as this girl who took the best angle of herself and posted out there. Mm. And so everybody wants to have that perfect image that is so unrealistic.
That is perpetuated by social media or mass media.
Exactly. And you have these young kids growing up, they don't have maturity, they don't have discernment, so they think this is reality.
If you're healthy, you are beautiful, but most importantly, if you're good within
yourself
and you do good, then you're beautiful.
Yes. And one of the things that I also want to say is, listen, if you think that looking a certain way is the only way, and if you don't look at this way, then you don't look beautiful. Mm. I mean, think about life and everyday people. You have people that go from very heavy. They can get married. They can have boyfriend. You have people that are very gorgeous, that are single. They can't get a man. Mm. So it's all about who you are as a person, you know. And I'm not saying people are trying to be beautiful to get
to get married.
To get married or anything like that. But I'm just saying a lot of time the way we see ourselves is also because we want to be able to have partnership and things
find
like
acceptance
that.
Find acceptance from other people.
So, you know, everybody can make it. Even in the business of television that is so visual. Look at someone like Oprah who made it. Mm. And she struggled with weight all her life.
Right, right.
So sometimes I think about it and I said, you know what? Yes, I'm not happy when I gain weight, but, you know, let's just chill.
That is a way to end this conversation. Linos, thank you very much. And we're going to chill with you. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Lino,
where can people listen to your show from, by the way?
So they can go to voanews.com and check Healthy Living.
Say Healthy
Carnet
Living or Health
Santé,
Living?
Healthy Living.
Healthy Living.
Carnet de Santé, Africa 54, and Health Chat as well.
Right.
Yes.
Again, Lino wears many hats right here on The Voice of America. Thank you, Lino.
Thank you, Jackson.
You're listening to Upfront on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thanks to all of you for joining us today. We're talking about this idea of universal beauty. What are some of the things, the driving forces behind our understanding of what is beautiful and what is not beautiful? Is there a universal standard for beauty? And joining me to further discuss this issue are three college students, Caleb Damisi-Fawole and Jacqueline Gross. Guys, welcome to the show. Let me start off by asking you, how do young people generally define beauty?
I think that a lot of people think beautiful is what they don't have. So I think with women with curly hair, think that what's beautiful is women with straight hair. And women who are very like light-skinned think that women that are beautiful are very tan. And so I think that beautiful is kind of like an unrealistic standard to try to reach because it's always going to be what you can't have.
So it's very hard to really satisfy human beings. They feel like if you don't have something, you want to get it.
Exactly. But I also think that people need to realize, and I know how cliche this sounds, but being beautiful is being happy. If you're comfortable with yourself, then you tend to be happier, and when you're happier, you come off as more beautiful.
Right. And we'll get there.
Preach.
We'll get there. Church. But we'll start off with you, Damisi. Okay, so what's your take on this, Damisi? What's your standard?
In my opinion, beauty comes from within. And just like Jacqueline said, when you are confident in yourself, when you believe that you are beautiful as a person, people are going to believe you're beautiful. So I think that there definitely is a standard of beauty, but it depends on who you ask. So I think the majority of at least youth in America today will identify beauty based on your outward appearance.
So you're saying there's a standard idea of beauty, depending on who you ask?
Yes.
Based on cultures or people?
Based on outside influences. If you let something influence you to a point, then you're going to start developing those beliefs for yourself. It basically comes down to what you believe and whether you're willing to conform. Precisely.
Yeah, well, I guess in my opinion, so beauty is directly linked with marketing. And if we go into as far as history tells us, marketing has been essentially an artificial method to get people to attain a certain product.
To consume. Right.
So to control the consumer's perception. So perception is huge in this, and perception is also directly linked with cultural influences. So essentially, the entire world has become globalized, as you said, into a Western society.
Do you agree with Jacqueline that beauty, the standard and expectation of beauty in popular culture has changed, has evolved over the last 10 years?
Yeah, I definitely believe that it's changed. Just like she said, it's most males, in my experience, are more into big butts now. And in the past, it was small butt, small waist, you know, and now it's like, oh. But I actually don't think that people are looking at models as the standard now. Those are the people they use for their shows and for magazines and things like that. But I don't think youth in today's society are looking at those women and wanting to be them. I think they're more so looking at celebrities and, you know, the people who dominate the music industry and all those people and, you know, sex appeal and all that. And those aren't usually those skinny models.
Right.
Those are, these, you know,
those are more reflective of much
yeah.
more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you look at certain songs that are coming out, like Meghan Trainor's song, you know.
All About That Bass.
All About That Bass. It's like, it's basically encouraging being curvy and being comfortable with yourself. And I think that you talked about how we're in a movement, and I think that we are in a movement where women are growing stronger and stronger. And I don't know, I think that they're becoming more comfortable. And it's kind of like you say that men kind of control the way that women look. But I think that now we're going away from that and women are controlling the way that women look.
Oh, that's interesting. She's saying that women are taking back that power to kind of redefine what an ideal woman looks like.
Yeah, I think that's directly linked to the women's movement in the United States. And as far as the amount of freedom, as far as we have the freedom of speech and so on, and how it's so proliferated in this country. But, and also, I think an important note to take is the more globalized we become, the more homogenous we become, the less the tables will be turned as focused on one race.
Now, some people say that because of increased access to technology and the globalization of culture, that Western beauty ideals have spread to the rest of the world and they're now being upheld as models for beauty everywhere. Is this a valid point? My next guest says that beauty is not just one's physical appearance.
I see someone's beauty by the way they carry themselves and the way they actually approach other people. It's not all about physical stuff.
That's Matilda Mtanguha. She says that regardless of how much influence Western media has on our societies, culture still plays a very important role in how we define beauty.
Do the physical attributes play any part here at
all? Of course. They have to be appealing.
Mm.
In a way,
appealing
but they don't
physically.
Have to be extraordinary.
Mm.
Cannot have it all bad, right?
Right.
You have to at least have one attribute to make up for all the other losses in your life.
But when you talk about physical beauty, don't we all have what we look for in terms of defining what physical beauty is?
Exactly. I really think it's a cultural thing, too, a culturally driven, like, criteria. As in, Africans will look at a certain body type and a certain, like, certain features will be emphasize for like an African man what they're looking at. Again, I'm generalizing, but that's just how I see it. And then,
so if I look like Shrek and then I have a good personality, I'm okay.
You're more than okay.
I'm good in your books.
What? You're done.
So, why is it that there's this such an emphasis on the physical attributes of beauty then? Why have we come to define beauty as something that is more physical than it is about our internal?
For me, this is how I see it. I think it's more the first thing that you notice, right? You're not going to look at a person, because I have people who tell me, no, you know, the first time we met, I thought, oh my God, he has such a beautiful soul. Like, you're not going to see his soul when you see him, okay? The first thing you're going to notice is this guy physically attractive? If he's not, then move
beautiful
on, you know what
soul.
I mean? And same thing to a guy, like, is a woman beautiful or whatever? You don't look at or they might have a good personality. So it's the first impression, basically, and that is why it's really emphasized.
Welcome back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. We are still talking about beauty, the perception of beauty, how globalization has affected our understanding of beauty, and some of the impact it has had on our societies, on our communities, and on our young women and men in the world, but you know, most specifically on the continent.
Hi, this is Liz Kemigisha from Kampala, Uganda, and I love listening to Upfront.
Come back to you guys in the studio. Do you guys agree with Matilda in the sense that regardless of how much mass media influences our understanding of beauty, that there's a movement in terms of people embracing their differences and their understanding that what sets them apart is actually what makes them beautiful?
I mean, I almost like that people from different cultures and different parts of the world don't only strive to be like Western culture and like what we have. I think that we're going in the right direction with people aiming to be different or aiming to conform or like aiming to show pride in like their own culture.
Less conformation to the dominant culture, I guess.
Yeah, and right. Instead like embracing their own culture. Like I think it's great when people don't conform to the Western culture and because that's what makes the world different.
And speaking of not conforming, I should say with lots of pride that one of our guests here today is Damisi Fawole, a young Nigerian-American woman. She's rocking natural hair.
Not 2 weeks ago, I wasn't, but... I guess it was still natural, but, you know. But going off what Jacqueline was saying, like, I know in specific places in Africa, I'm going to speak for Nigeria because I know Nigeria, like, a gap in someone's teeth would be considered very beautiful, and
right.
That's, like, a sign of beauty there. But here people like want to get braces immediately, don't want any gaps in their teeth.
Matter of fact, one of the young women that I interview on this show says that she could not wait to turn 17 and have that gap closed. And I know you're right. In most African societies, most African cultures, that is a symbol of beauty, having a gap in your teeth.
Yeah. So I think that's so interesting. And I really do admire that distinction because, you know, I feel like most people are coming here and conforming, but I appreciate the people who are sticking to their own standards of beauty. And I mean, if it's not unhealthy, but there's something beautiful about being able to be comfortable in your own skin. And also about how the way I see it is individualism. I'm a strong component of individualism. So I don't want to say that the media is the one to blame and that, you know, if the media weren't this way, I will say that, you know, we're all subject to peer pressure and influences from the media and things like that. But it boils down to your personal convictions. And I really believe that if we as humans didn't succumb to or didn't buy into the standard of beauty that the media was pushing on us, then we would live in a different society.
There's no conspiracy by the media to create this construct of ideal beauty, no?
No, it's completely out there for us, and it's almost before our eyes. But at the same time, there are many people who ignore it, or they think they ignore it. But subliminally, I think it really puts images in our minds and influences us, whether we like it or not.
That's just the world that we're living in,
right? So I guess that's the power of media too.
And like you said, it's a $1 billion industry, bleaching, and even in India, like if you're light skinned, you're considered, you know, above. And it's easy to talk about that being in here. But, like, if you actually visit the countries, it's serious. Like, it's actually surprising.
There's been a serious brainwashing that has been going on for centuries that is really hard to overcome in, like, a decade or two. But do you see a movement within these communities, like, say, in Nigeria, where in Nigeria...
I can't speak for the majority of people, so I don't know if there's any kind of movement. I would love there to be. But I do know of people, friends, who use African black soap, which is one of the side effects, I guess, is it like makes your skin lighter. And I
it's
just
called
like
African black soap.
It's called African black soap. It's black.
That's a cynical
but it,
name.
Like, my cousin
for a bleaching soap.
You know, it makes it. He is lighter skin than I've ever seen him, and it's the most. It's the weirdest thing. Another man food is another man poison.
That was Damisi Fawole, Jacqueline, and Caleb. Thank you guys for helping us navigate this seemingly easy
yet complex subject. We'll be right back. But first, let's hear our listeners' opinions on this topic.
I can tell you that the way people show beauty in terms of the beauty of a person, in terms of the face, that is a little bit shallow because, and we human beings buy into that a lot. Beauty does not go without brain. You gotta have both.
I think the beauty of somebody may not necessarily be to parade somebody in a swimwear. So that way, I think it is demeaning. Ooh, yeah.
You're listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thanks to all of you for joining us today. We are talking about beauty. What are some of the driving forces behind our understanding of what is beautiful and what is not beautiful? Is there a universal standard for beauty?
Opayemi Obajemi is a Nigerian student. I brought him in for a chat with Charissa, who is a personal trainer and physical health consultant here in Washington, D.C. And I started off by putting Mr. Opayemi on the spot about beauty.
First of all, I'll start off by you, Yemi. If you look, you first met Charissa today, right, a few minutes ago. Would you consider her beautiful?
Absolutely, yeah.
Why? Why would you say she's beautiful? Based on what? I put you on the spot right there.
You did. I think...
She's waiting to see why. Because your answer might determine whether you're going to play that beauty game.
I think, like you said, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Every guy is attracted to something. So facially, she has a nice facial structure. She has pretty eyes. Physically, she is in good form, I think.
How would you respond to that characterization of beauty? Same that his attraction to you based on your physical features. Are you okay with saying you're beautiful just based on your...
No, I think it depends on how you're raised and, you know, your values. You have beauty that is physical, but there's also, you know, inner beauty, and I was always taught that
absolutely,
the beauty that's most important is what's inside. And I know
you say what's inside.
Yeah.
I know, yeah, true. I know personally beauty. As a woman, when I go out, I do have a shapely form. I am considered curvy, and I know when I go out, I do at times get a little offended when I'm walking down the street because
you get a lot of attention.
It's a little too much at times. And I think that guys fail to understand that if you do that along with the rest of the guys, you're going to get what the rest of the guys get, yeah, the absolutely, same type of response. I don't even look, but it's just the fact of how you approach it.
You're curvaceous, and because of that, you attract a lot of attention.
That's correct.
Most of it is unwanted attention.
Exactly.
What, for people who think that you're beautiful, or what type of attention is it? Negative or positive attention?
It's not necessarily negative. It's more so how it's the approach. Because I think there are lots of people that look. I just think that it's your approach. People conceive beauty as to what they know, and I know that Westernized culture has taken over the world, per se. For women, a lot of times it's, smaller waist, bigger hips, which, and you can also divide that culturally because bigger hips in African culture is different than hips in European culture.
Have you received the equal amount of attention from both races?
You know what? A lot of attention I get is from Hispanic Americans or Hispanics. Of course, I get African American, Africans. Actually, I get a lot of response from Italian men. Actually, I even get quite a bit of responses from European or white Americans, actually. I guess my look may be a little universal. I've gotten European people who are from France who say, oh, you know, your features remind me of someone I know, you know.
Absolutely.
And then I've had
absolutely,
people from the Dominican. I go actually go get my hair done at a Dominican salon, and I get that a lot, that I remind them of somebody, people that they know. And then I actually also go to an Ethiopian salon, and I get the same thing. They always come to me and they say salam. And then, you know, it's just ironic because I've gotten I used to work for a Persian lady, and she told me that I look like, you know, one of her relatives.
Thank you very much, Charissa, and thank you, Yemi. Thank you for tuning into the show today. Whether you're streaming online or listening in on radio from wherever you are in Africa or other parts of the world, we hope you can continue this conversation. Connect with us on our social media platforms, especially on our Facebook. Go to Facebook and search for Upfront Show VOA.
connect with us, like the page, share with your friends, and leave a comment. We are always updating the show on the page with new information on a range of issues, especially of concern to our audience in Africa and in the diaspora. Remember, as our elders say, leading a race does not mean you will win it. I'm Jackson Bunganyi. Good day, Africa.